sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys Horror Movie Podcast. I'm Rolando.
Recording. And here's Johnny.
I'll let you guess
what we said 1,000 times before we started.
And the other hour and a half talking about comic books.
And wrestling. We are the Muscle Mommy Rhea Ripley Stan podcast show now.
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Slaughterhouse. As always, Sean will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're back in TV Corner watching The Fall of Usher, Season 1.
Oh.
Episode 4, The Black Cat. What are you calling it?
For thou. I'm omitting the T in The Fall of the House of Usher and just going with the acronym For Thou.
For Thou.
Fo. That one.
Fall of the house. But you need the, right? The fall. The fall.
The fall? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm omitting that first the.
No, yeah. The first
for thou for me, yeah. For thou.
For thou. For who? For. You, H and U is kind of a weird grouping of letters.
But T-H-O-U is thou, right? Like, if you're reading a Shakespearean sonnet, he would write T-H-O-U, thou. Mm-hmm. So,
what would Edgar Allan Poe write?
Because he was real hip, right? So he would try to hybrid the lingo, like, everybody's saying, like, fo, show, right? So it was like, fo, thou.
Fo, thou. I didn't like this episode.
Well, it was like, it's an episode about a kitty.
I don't know. I have a lot of problems with it.
This episode is about Lou, right? The character Lou.
Leo.
Yes.
Leo
Usher, not to be confused with Percy.
Raymond Usher.
Perry Usher.
Yeah. Who? You mean Percy. Percy.
Yeah, Percy. Oh, I mean Perry, actually. You're right.
All right, John. What you think of episode 4?
Well, let's see. I did write down this episode is about a guy, Leo, falls for pussy and dies.
Oh, it works. On several levels.
That's exactly what happens.
But he doesn't he like the boys?
He does. He likes the girls too.
Well, he liked the girl like getting a blowjob, but he didn't necessarily I didn't see any penetration. So
no, well, because you remember his boyfriend came home early, so he had to like push her out as quickly as possible.
But he was like mid like game, so he was clearly just playing the game and getting pleasured.
Yeah, but I'm also chalking that up to we never see actual sex in this show,
which is a huge well, that's true. It's a huge disadvantage for that show.
Yeah, it is mostly every time we see Leo doing anything sexual, it's him getting a blowjob.
That's true. Yeah.
No, this episode, I was kind of mentioning how episode 2. Perry's demise was so dramatically awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like right now they're progressively getting more boring. And I feel like you can tell which episodes Mike Flanagan directed and which ones he didn't.
So. True. I think the reason why I say I didn't like it, and I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I think this is definitely not one of the stronger episodes so far that we've seen. Well, the thing I didn't like about it, besides Leo being related to the Ushers, and besides him, you know, being kind of like a shitty guy in general, it kind of seems extreme that he died. Does that make sense? Like, because
yeah,
you know what I mean. Does that make? Because like his, he was not. He never truly did anything. He didn't seem like he was self-involved, so he never was really like involved with like murdering or killing normal people like some of these other people, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but
does that kind of make sense?
Like you said at the beginning, I think it's really just the sins of the father,
right?
So regardless, they're gonna die even if they're good people. But so far, some of the things they paint them like they're horrible people, but like, what's her name? Just terrible with names. Everybody should know this by the time we get back to Yellow Jackets. I'm like, I don't remember her name's
name. Where's Julia Lewis? I don't know.
Sloan? Is that how you say her name? Oh wait, no, that's her last name. Tamerlan.
I don't remember who that is. Oh yeah, I see her. The redhead girl, the oldest daughter. Okay, yeah.
Because even her thing is kind of like, the worst thing we've seen her do is she's got like a weird sex kink, which, you know, I don't know if it's intentional that they're trying to demonize these guys having sexual quirks, which is kind of strange. That's like such an old mentality at this point.
I think it could be more, another way to maybe look at it is, that, you know, how like people are fascinated by famous people's weird sexual quirks.
Could be a little bit of that. That's true. Yeah.
Like forever, Richard.
Or the rich are so bored, they can do whatever they want.
Exactly. That too.
Yeah.
I think part of it with her specifically, I think she's, cold and calculating and kind of callous, right? Samantha, the character. She seems like everything is a show, or like everything's just a facade for her so far. Like, we haven't really like dug into like specifics with her. She's been kind of on the periphery, you know. She really hasn't been like, aside from like these, and that could be a fault of the show, is that she, it's such a large ensemble that they can't really spend too much time, especially if we're going to be killing people. We got that episode, the way the show's designed, it's kind of like the episode needs to be about the person that we're killing. So we won't find much about her until, I don't know, until like maybe another two more episodes or so. Because I'm assuming that the son was the oldest, right? And then she's the next oldest. So Henry Thomas is going to be the last one killed before the season, you know, the series finale or whatever.
Yeah. So I feel like she's the obvious choice for
the mole.
But then I'm also guessing that Juno might be the mole per request of Roderick.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Just so he can kind of fraudulently maintain a hold of the company without being in trouble.
So my thing is, my suspicion has always been Lenore, and there's that famous "Oh Lenore," and I feel like they gotta have to do that thing when they get to the Raven episode.
Yeah.
Oh, Lenore is, you know what I mean? They gotta have to do that line. So that's why I suspect that she might be another reason why I suspect she's the one who betrayed him. And she's the only one left alive, right? Well, there's like a few left, but no, all the kids are dead.
But they did, he specifically mentioned that she's alive, and he was like, don't worry about what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
When he's talking to, what's his name? Dupin, I guess we can call him. I was very excited because at one point he's talking, and was it Perry randomly showed up? And he yells at Perry like, I was talking. And Dupin was like, you don't talk to me like that, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, we're going to see some geriatrics get into it? Let's fight, fight, fight. Like, no, nothing happened.
Well, I thought that was Leo.
That could have been Leo. Because I don't know why I looked like, for a second there, I was like, oh, Perry came back for no reason.
It could have been Perry, but I thought it was Leo, but I didn't pay enough attention. But yeah, they were totally yelling at each other, which is really funny. That's
good. Yeah, this episode was a little bit
more less focused, right? Yeah. Less focused, a little stale on parts. And the premise is built, I think, for like the premise itself is built in kind of like pretty obvious that being driven mad and stuff like that, it was kind of like,
yeah,
they didn't portray it the most, I was less convinced of his madness. It was very typical, I guess, for TV movie. I've seen it before. Because
you're right, yeah. It should have been mostly about him and him losing it slowly. There could have been a bunch of cool things they could have done with that. But they keep going back to fucking Roderick's backstory, and I'm like, just speed through this already. Like, I don't care, actually. I mean, maybe it leads into, like, where the curse comes into play, but, like, I don't...
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, clearly they got to Verna. Yeah, like, we haven't gone back to... Madeline and Roderick talking to Verna in the bar or whatever.
Like, we're still slowly, like, at a snail's pace, maybe even like a sloth's pace.
Slaughterhouse pace, yeah.
Going through, like, oh, he forged your signature, and this guy's like, now you're a part of the company, the big leagues. I'm like, okay. Was that what this whole thing was about in this episode? Why? Just go, like, speed through it.
Yeah, I think they're setting up just his, like, despite how he felt about him, he kind of shaped the businessman he would be.
Yeah.
That kind of, because they have that line where they both say the same thing about building walls and stuff.
Yeah.
Some shit like that.
Doesn't he also say, he's like, you know what car I have outside? It's a Ferrari. Who says that?
I don't know his name. The boss guy, right? Yeah.
Which I gotta say, that guy's a pretty damn good actor. I should just
really good.
That
yeah.
Yeah. I was just he's realizing this episode, I was like, you are the most interesting thing about these flashbacks right now. Mm-hmm. Which I love what's his face a lot too, but it was just, yeah. Anyway, I like how he mentions that. And then at the end, when Leo jumps to his death trying to catch the cat, he falls like right next to a Ferrari, which is really funny because they didn't want to destroy a Ferrari because it would be too much money. So he falls right next to the Ferrari.
Yeah, that was... exactly. Yeah.
I was like, hey, we've only got this Ferrari for like 5 minutes because it's already like $1,000.
I think it was a CGI Ferrari. I don't think it was a real Ferrari.
It was just reused Bumblebee footage. Transformers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, some of those parallels come into play.
Right.
Ooh, I did think it was fun to see that are we supposed to gather Madeline is aware of who Verna is?
Because she runs back
to that bar, right? And stares at the Raven, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's what's so frustrating. It's like, what? Like, just say it. Like,
yeah.
Hey, Roderick. The fucking deal we made with death is coming back fullfold, you know? Like, this is what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, why? Yeah. Like,
also, because, like, quite obviously, because now we're seeing different photos of the same woman that looks exactly like Verna.
Yeah. They still seem, the way it's portrayed is, like, they recognize her, but then they're not saying anything. Even though...
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird, right? It's like it's purposely being withheld so they can get to it later, but it's like...
I don't understand why.
It's not an. I don't think it's a strong enough thread or mystery to kind of.
And what's her name? Morel or Morel? 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 The eldest? The doctor? The scientist?
Oh, the eldest out of the. Yeah, the bastards.
Yeah. She is kind of tricking. Not realizing that it's Verna into like signing into being like the first life subject for this test thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, at some point you would think that they're going to share the photo of, you know, with her, of the person that potentially killed Siegel. What's her real name? I mean, what's her name? It doesn't matter. but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a very gatekeepy episode.
Oh, how do you figure?
Because I mean, from it, like, just information, I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
They're bringing you up to this like point, like right at the edge, and then
how? Yeah, because does that ring true? Because like, how, like, if you made this deal with this supernatural creature, devil, death, to be rich, to, you know what I mean, to ascend, like, how could you not remember that? Like, that seems pretty important. So it's like, you know, seems like a very important detail in each other's lives that they haven't discussed.
I feel like, yeah, that, or if they would had just introduced that they're so rich and empowered and entitled that they don't think anything can touch them. But now, I mean, at this point, because everybody's dropping like flies, I don't know why they wouldn't be like, maybe this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Because it almost feels like one of the designs of the show makes it flawed, in that every episode you got to kill a kid, but like time has passed and it seems coincidental. More questions would be asked if like all your kids are dying, like,
yeah.
And there doesn't seem to be that alarm yet. Now that even when the second daughter died, like for the previous episode, like, even that should have set more alarms or more suspicion or more like questions, but they kind of seem to be not, I don't know, conveniently disconnected from like, from what's truly like, from the reality of what's going on. Does that make sense? That.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, like,
maybe I overthink it. Because
the characters are all so superficial to begin with. Like, it doesn't seem like anybody truly gives a shit about anybody else.
Right. Yeah.
Like, at this point, it seems like Henry Thomas is more on a mission to find out if his wife was cheating on him or was trying to fuck Perry or not. Like, that seems to be the more important thing in his life.
I mean, now he's doing cocaine.
Yeah.
The only person that I have to say, like, I'm so glad this person's in Mark Flanagan's universe is Mark Hamill. Oh my god, what a dude! What, I think I was watching him in this episode, and like all these little like behaviors and like acting choices that he's making are just like totally fit this character he's developed, and it's so amazing that this guy is basically like a excellent character actor who got cast in the biggest movie of our generation.
Did you know that? Yeah. Did you know that same actor, Mark Hamill, played Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars saga?
Oh, I was talking about Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah. He played Luke Skywalker in, I think it's episodes 1-3 of Star Wars. Episodes 1-3. Yeah, with Luke Skywalker. I want everybody to come.
I'll take your word for it. I've never seen them. Never seen any of them.
but the name he adopts is Luke. I think his real name is Anakin. Yeah, that's the Star Wars lore.
Yeah, come at John at the comments.
He carries around this like thing that looks like a flashlight. It's called the Darksaber or something like that. Yeah, moving on.
But yeah. But yeah, he's fabulous. He's a great actor. I'm glad he's in this Flanagan universe. So
it would be kind of fun if you find out that he's another form of Verna.
I actually think he's one of the more interesting characters in the show. It's almost as if he doesn't quite fit in the show because of what he's portraying, a very it it's very like he's in a character, like he's almost dressed up in a character, the way he walks and the little glasses, he wears gloves.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He wore like a, you know, hat, like a fedora hat for a while in this episode. So
he's very, what's his name? Fuck, was the guy's name Farnsworth? I'm fucking up right now. In Willy Wonka. The guy that Willy Wonka hires to like trick people into
giving.
I think his name is Farnsworth.
It was, yes. I know what you're talking about. No, it was his assistant or whatever. Yeah.
It feels very much like that. Like he's putting on something like that.
He has a whole, he's totally like masked in his character. It's really good. It's just, you know, everyone seems like every other character is more grounded in like a reality.
Yeah.
Of the show. Yes. So, the other thing I think I'll probably note is, the scene that made me laugh was when he's like destroying the home and he goes for the Thor hammer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was going to mention that. It's super funny. It's so stupid.
It's so stupid. That was really funny though. It was good though. Yeah. It was a funny beat in the show. Aside from that, I mean, I don't know. Do you have any other impressions or thoughts?
No, it just wasn't my favorite episode, even though this is one of my favorite tales by Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, next we're going with Telltale Heart, so that'll be interesting. Somebody's got to see a ghost at least, right? Not just Roderick.
It's true. I guess all of them have taken inspiration from a story. So if it's Telltale Heart, yeah, I guess you're right.
Somebody has to. I mean, technically, Leo saw a ghost too, right? When he squeezes the cat's eye out of its socket and then sees Verna, and Verna's eyeball's out too.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she's one of those pet owners that like, oh, well, me too. I don't want you to feel bad.
Was it? I'm assuming this is about the doctor, right? The lady, what's her name? I forgot her name. This is about the last bastard daughter. It's probably going to be about the A part.
I forget if they say her name with any sort of different intonation or whatnot, but I read it as Morel. Ah. It's Morelle. So it's either Morelli, or if we're going with the Latin spin, is Morege? I don't know.
Latin.
The double L.
I gotcha. Yeah, we'll see. And I think it's confirmed that Roderick he's dying, right? He has a heart problem.
I mean, there's a thumbnail with him on the ground and blood coming out of his mouth, so I'm gonna assume. I don't know.
Yeah.
One of those things, you know, another Yellow Jackets thing where we're like, oh, I guess this is going to happen because of the fucking thumbnail.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't ever look ahead. Ever. Yeah. So far, so good. It's hard to judge, but yeah, this not my favorite Flanagan thing so far, but.
Yeah. I mean, it started off really strong. It might end really strong, too. I just think. It's got a very Haunting of Hill House pacing, where I feel like a lot of the middle episodes were pretty boring too. I'm also, I got Midnight Mass on a fucking pedestal right now, so.
Compared to this, yeah, I agree. I was tempted to go back and like, maybe I should go back and watch episode 2 and 3, but knowing that it's going to, you know, knowing that it's already been canceled, like it's not going to go anywhere. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
worse instincts. Okay, cool. Let's move over to our main review of Slaughterhouse. John, do you want to give us
real quick? I just want to point out that we did have to go through a time change. Again, for some fucking reason, even though we passed some law like 25 years ago. That's what it feels like. And it's funny, I'm realizing that the sun comes in through your window the right direction because you're still all lit up. And I'm getting It's getting dark in my apartment slowly.
Why am I light on, but west, I mean, I can see that way, yeah.
Oh, because from your window looks blown out.
Oh, yeah. But it's, I'm like, west is this way, so the sun's like over there. I don't know. You need to turn your lights on, John. It's getting too spooky in that apartment.
Slaughterhouse. Should have been called Slaughterfest, because I kept looking for that fucking movie. I was like, what the hell? Where's Slaughterfest? Oh, it's Slaughterhouse. Give me 2 seconds.
You got it. Duh!
Nice. Oh, that did a good job. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to get dark here. It's already dark, right? It's like 4:30. Yeah. Nobody told me this when I moved here. John, you didn't tell me shit.
I know you like surprises.
Dude, but damn.
You want those summaries?
Yes. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary. Rolando, drum roll, please. Don't expect gold. Okay. For Slaughterhouse.
4 words.
Mean Girls versus Die Hard. It's kind of the movie, right?
Die Hard.
Yeah, if you take it from the sloth's perspective, he did nothing wrong. She did nothing wrong. She is like, fuck this shit.
Like Alan Rickman's character. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> Coming in at number 2. Oh, it's another Mean Girls thing. Shit. Okay. Legally Blonde, Rush Slow Mover. It was originally Mean Girls, Rush Slow Mover. I forgot I erased a bunch of these. This is what happens when I don't do them on the fly and I have like 2 days to like think about it. I just make mistakes. And coming in at number 1 for Slaughterhouse, Sid makes cuts to sorority. John Leguizamo's Sid from Ice Age.
That's true. He was a sloth. All right. That's our show.
First thoughts, right? Yeah, first thoughts.
Why are we watching this, John? Let's just start there.
Because the trailer was a little bit misleading. But yeah. If I had 2 thoughts, if they had focused this story on Tiff Stevenson, who is supposed to be like the mom of the sorority,
yeah,
I think the movie would have been like 100 times better, because her mini story was so much fucking better than what was going on. Yeah. And I know they're trying to do like a spoofy thing, but to be quite honest, these actors, with the exception of a few of them, like, I like the tomboy actor because, yeah, that's what that character's supposed to be. They're making fun of the goofy jock guy character, right? Like, yeah, they're trying to fill in the tropes, right?
Right, yeah.
But again, she's barely in it. She just comes in to say a couple of dumb lines and then disappears or whatever. These actors, I hate to say it, were not solid. Like, they got the base idea of what the director wanted and was like, that's good enough. Kind of like CW actors, not all of them, but like, you know, like the base CW actors that just come in and like, oh, you know, this is just like a drama. But so there was no layering to it. So that made the story, that part of the story, really boring for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept going like, why didn't you just spend more time on the sloth? Because this shit's fucking hilarious. If it was just goofy like that the whole movie, I think I would have enjoyed it more. Like, at one point, the sloth steals a car.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fucking funny. And then I got angry that they kept cutting back to the sorority. I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Yeah, to say the least. I agree. I'm trying not to be negative, but or at least be intelligently negative about it. But
are you trying to say in a nice way that most of these actors are boring as fuck?
Yeah, none of them had. I'm assuming a lot of them didn't have a lot of experience, and they didn't really have much screen presence. And this is probably the first big thing they were in, which is fine. But everybody got to start somewhere. Unfortunately, I look like cheap. It looks like TV. It's shot like TV. an episode of CW.
Like I think that's why I kept going towards CW. It had like a very early 2000s. I think that's why I compare it to Mean Girls and Legally Blonde, aside from the obvious reasons.
Did you ever watch... shot
very colorful like that, like bright.
There was... Yes. What was it called? Did you ever hear about the show Blue Mountain State?
Yes, I know what you're talking about, but I never watched it. Yeah,
neither did I. But it looks exactly like this. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
kind of like American, like the sequels to American Pie looked less and less. like movies
started getting shittier and shittier.
Shittier and shittier. Yeah.
This movie's kind of a bummer. You know, I did watch a movie. There's a couple of other animal-based horror movies that I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about those movies.
Well, this one's... Yeah, I guess this one's actually, like, supposed to be a slasher horror. And I guess Cocaine Bear is more of, like, a comedy, even though, like, there are horror elements in it. But Cocaine Bear was fantastic. And then there's, like, a intentional low-budget movie called The Velociraptor, where this pastor turns into a velociraptor. And it's cheaply made. It's, like, really, really campy, but it's fucking hilarious. This was kind of a bummer. I was trying to get into it because, like I said, I did enjoy when The Sloth came out because they did a lot of great puppeteering with it to make it look really funny.
Yeah, that's one plus I will say. The Sloth looks good. It looks like the gopher from Caddyshack. Like, it's a really nice puppet design or whatever.
And it was funny, yeah.
It was funny, yeah. Because it did.
I like how fast it was, too. It was really funny.
Surprisingly.
Like secretly fast.
Yeah, it surprisingly had a nice design and, like, I don't know. It's just one of those where, like, maybe, like, we kind of know a lot about sloths because they've been in pop culture for a minute.
Yeah.
So it behaving so connivingly didn't really make sense. Now, had it escaped from a medical lab?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too. Like that should have been a part of the story too, because right now it just seems like a sloth hell bent on revenge, but there's no way the body can do any. I mean, it still was funny. Like, there's a lot of stupid moments where, like, it understands how to use a computer, and that's, like, the jumping off, like, catalyst point to where it, like, all of a sudden knows how to do all this other shit.
Uses the internet, gets on social networks.
Steals a fucking car.
Yeah.
When the main girl's best friend gets hurt because the sloth kind of, like, intentionally plans, grabs her phone and throws it into the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this person in a bug can't see this girl in the middle of the driveway of this huge sorority for some reason.
Right, yeah.
And when the sloth goes, it's like fucking speeding through the town in like a, is it her Charger or her like Mustang or something?
Mustang, yeah.
I want to say it's a Mustang. And, you're like, oh no, the sloth is driving, but the sloth also sees a red light, so it stops. And it was so stupid. That part made me laugh a lot. And gets into the hospital and does a social media thing like,
oh yeah,
Slother House. What should I do to her next? Oh no, Killer Sloth or whatever the fuck the hashtag was.
Yeah. Hashtag, yeah. So how much, again, how much would this would have benefited had a recently deceased death row inmate had entered a sloth's body. Totally Chucky. It's totally fucking should have been Chucky. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it was missing that element of like origin, like a really stupid, goofy, dumb origin.
I'm wondering if that's where, if they're intentionally going to make a sequel, they're planning to make a sequel, that's what it's kind of about. Like, oh, that's why all these sloths are like this, because there's chemicals in the stupid water or something.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Didn't love it.
yeah. Same. I was okay with, like, yeah, I mean, I think that there's enough of a premise there, but they didn't, like, decide how they wanted it to go. Like, either you go full comedy, full horror, full, you know, believability, or completely insane. And I think it just to have it, like, just to have, like, very little bites of each, which doesn't work in a story like this. So,
and again, the actors weren't well trained enough to carry whatever story was going on.
So it needed, like, it Jenna Ortega, is what you're saying.
No.
So I don't know how much you're on the Jenna Ortega train.
Negative. No.
Actress of our generation, Jenna Ortega, John Flores.
That part should have been played by Kate Sybil.
Just all the women actresses you love. Only one movie.
No, I mean, I'll watch Kate Siegel and stuff now. No, but now every time I see Jenna Ortega, I'm like, oh, eye roll. Let me guess, you're going to have dead eyes in this one too? Congrats. anyway, moving on.
Well, at least this, I mean, next Halloween, there would be a whole series of sloths for Halloween instead of Wednesdays.
So. Oh, that's true, yeah. Even though I didn't see a whole lot of Kens or Barbies, I'll be honest, I saw like a couple of pairs and that was it. I was surprised.
Yeah, I'm assuming Ken and Barbies were... Maybe that's too obvious, too on the nose.
Yeah.
You know?
I had a couple of my friends, this had a couple couples costume. She was Einstein and he was Oppenheimer. It was really funny.
That's super funny. Yeah.
But yeah, this movie, I think we're gearing up to have our shortest episode yet.
Okay, we have 18 minutes. Where to go, John? I gotta make it work.
So, they shot this in one location, I think. I'm pretty sure, actually. I feel like they faked a bunch of parts of the movie. It's just the same big house.
I know you were a fan of the purposely kind of like goofy side character. I can't say I was a fan. You know,
I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like that character would have been better if everybody else was just on the same level. Because I feel like that was the only character that was at the same level of the sloth ridiculousness.
Yeah,
because. Yeah, when she came out at the end and she, like, geared herself up with a bunch of knives and shit.
Samurai sword.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's kind of goofy. And then the boyfriend's just, like, an idiot, which is, like, funny. I mean, that's the way it should be. Like, he's the bimbo that should have died, but...
Nobody died, I think, right? For the most part.
None of the main characters, yeah.
Because Stevenson did, right?
I mean, a bunch of the sorority girls died, too.
Oh, that's right. They did.
Like, most of them, actually, I think.
I would say that's also a negative. The deaths aren't good enough, right? Like,
no,
they should have went...
Anticlimactic.
Yeah, they should have been harder, more bloodier, more over the top than what we got.
And I'm going to assume that was, like, a budget thing, because how Tiff Stevenson died looked like it was super cool, but she's on the other side of a door... I don't know. I mean, her death and that whole thing, like where she gives her whole backstory, is really funny.
That was super funny.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, I just figured one day you guys would just make me the president. So without any context or any hints, you thought that eventually somebody would just nominate you to be president? Just like, Yeah, I guess that does sound silly, huh? I really should have just gone with what a career with my degree. She has a law degree.
You really should have used that. Yeah, yeah. That was actually one of the funnier lines in the movie.
So yeah. Funny, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the ending was kind of dumb. I know they're trying to be corny and like whatever with it, but I was like, oh, okay. Not the sloths, like that extra thing, but them like, oh, we need to help endangered animals, and they're in front of the sorority where just a year before all a bunch of their friends got murdered.
So yeah, so I that was like, I read a couple of reviews, and that was like one of the compliments of this movie. It's like, oh, it has a positive message on how we shouldn't bring endangered animal, or, you know, animals into, yeah, as pets and stuff. And I'm like, really? That's what we're getting for this movie? And I was like, oh God.
Yeah, people are trying. They're trying to give it something. Because I got to say, for a movie that apparently people are watching, there is no trivia for it.
But didn't it just come out?
October 15th. It's had some time. I'm just
kidding. In the streaming world, it's old news. It's a classic already.
Yeah. It's a classic. It has already become cult classic status.
It's a featured movie were wrong. It's a featured movie on the Criterion Channel. Yeah. That's how old this movie is.
A feature movie that was shot in Serbia. So why did they have money to shoot
it? Serbia. Yeah. Serbia makes sense. Those Serbs. You've seen the Siberian movie?
Oh, right? the Serbian, a Serbian film? Oh, what a classic.
What a classic.
But about the loving of babies.
Let's talk about that movie.
Say that. Yeah. I did not say that out loud.
Yeah.
So this main girl, she comes out in Titans, but this is a season I don't think either of us have seen.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't very good.
She was not. Nice.
I don't mean to be shitty. I don't want to be shitty or Jinx. She played Jinx?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Oh, man. No way.
I got to say, the friend I thought was way better. The Brianna character, Sydney Craven, I thought she was way better.
Yeah, same. I thought that she was. I'm trying to see who Jinx is.
And then the Zenny character. What was the name of the main kind of bad girl antagonist? Oh no, Zenny's the jock. I mean, the tomboyish friend, right?
Yeah. For what?
So there's the Madison character who's like the main antagonist. Like she's just like super, super mean girl.
Yeah.
She was serviceable. I don't know. I feel like those are the two leads, like Madison and like our main girl that played Jinx and Titans, and they were not.
Yeah.
All that. I wasn't engaged in their stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. What can you say? I saw the Meg 2. It's kind of boring, but the end is like, it makes up for it.
Which one?
Because the Meg 2. Because Jason Statham kills one of the sharks, and it's like very spectacularly over the top. That's about a shark. But there's several sharks, and there's also a mutant octopus at the end.
Spoiler.
So a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry I suggested this one. I was bamboozled by a fun trailer.
Yeah.
Like the entire movie should have been them trying to hide from the sloth, I think. Not like the last like 15 minutes. That's what it felt like. You know, I mean, like too much of the movie was a setup of like, oh, I want to be president because my mom was president.
Yeah, there's too much story. This movie about a killer sloth. Yeah, it should have been more. What's that other one with sharks?
Sharknado.
Sharknado. Yes, it should have been. Just go full tilt on the premise.
Yeah. What if the medicine character was played by Mia Goth?
Oh, the Academy Award.
Fuck yeah.
100%.
Just like blowing out the sound guys, boom mics, yelling.
Yeah.
Well, that's our episode.
I don't know. Mia Goth's a great actress. That's all we got, guys.
That's all we got right now. Yeah.
That's all we got from Slaughterhouse. No, that was kind of it. I don't think I have any other comments about the movie.
No, again, I think they should have made the movie more about Tiff Stevenson because she was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of ways. And unfortunately, like I said, like the Slaughterhouse is PG-13, so I mean, it's a PG-13 movie. What exactly are we?
Yeah.
It's never, essentially what I'm saying is like PG-13 is not like, you know, it's restricted. It's not going to say or do enough.
Yeah, give us a rated X. Let's fucking
do this. Let's yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like Pearl or whatever.
You know what? They should have made this a, oh my God, I'm blanking, a Gallo movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just, you know, have fun and just, like, reference, you know, Argento's and all these other movies, you know?
You know, yeah. I think they tried too fucking hard to make this, like, a Gremlins 2 or something.
I would say it's really closer in premise to Chucky. That was kind of the vibe I got.
Chucky, yeah. Because, you know, how like, they keep cutting back to the sloth and the sloth. I mean, if they had showed it preparing more, that would have probably been more fun. Make it more Gizmo-like, but evil.
Yeah, because you could. There's an easy story where, like, he's mistreated as a science project, escapes, picks up, you know, by this sweet, lonely girl, takes her to the sorority house.
Yeah.
They kick it out, and then it gets revenge because of its mistreatment. There's an easy story there.
Yeah, like in between all that somewhere, the sloth gets like, doesn't understand what's going on and gets engulfed in this like blue or like red gold energy. And then Barry Allen is like, this is the Speed Force. It's in you.
Yeah, it was specifically Barry Allen. Yeah.
No, it's actually Eobard Thawne is like, yeah, you're my new disciple. I don't know.
they're like the what is it with the turtle that goes fast in the Flash series? What's his name?
Oh, the I remember. They reference it in Super Pets, right?
They have a reference of it on the show too, on the Flash show. But what's the name of that turtle? It's Kid Flash's turtle, I think. Turtle.
Oh, it can't be Speedy, right? Because that's the name of Green Arrow's sidekick, one of them. I don't know. That's Slaughterhouse.
What? Hold on, Flash.
That was Slaughterhouse.
I don't think it was Turtle Man. No, that's not it.
Cannot recommend.
Sorry, we're stalling for time.
Russell Glosson, nicknamed the Turtle by Cisco.
That's the villain, right?
Yeah. So the thing is just called the Turtle, according to the internet.
Interesting.
The turtle, yeah. The turtle man simply calling himself the turtle. And then. Yeah, the character's name is Turtle. So. If this show is about. I mean, this movie is about Turtle. That's right. Yeah. You cast the guy from Entourage. He comes back. He plays a character named Turtle again. Bam, boom. Movie done.
Boom, bam. All right. That's all we got. I don't know.
Yeah.
What else we could do?
You're just listening to us jabber at this point.
Yeah.
Sorry, the movie kind of sucked.
Slaughterhouse is like broken our show. We don't know what else to say. Okay. We'll do better next week, folks. We swear. We'll be more prepared. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna get Slaughterhouse 3 sexy spooky fast 3 bones.
Yeah. What do you think?
Stevenson and then just a sloth alone.
That's only 2 things. What's the third thing?
We've reviewed way worse movies, I think.
How is this movie better than Salem's Lot?
It's faster.
Touché.
Way shorter.
Touché. It's okay. Fair enough.
They close their car doors, damn it. No, I was kidding.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to give it 2 sexy spooky bones.
Fair. Yeah.
For Tiff and for the sloth. Yeah. Great puppet design. All right.
And 1 for Serbia, so.
Pour one out for Serbia, guys. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. That's the sloth.